TW Mobile.
NCTW, this is November 0, Tango Romeo in 0TR. My name's Tom. Good afternoon. We're mobile in Greer.
Mr. Tom, I've heard you on the repeater a couple times. Just over here in Taylor, leaving the house myself, headed over towards Spartanburg, and just thought I'd see who might be on the radio this afternoon. I told myself I'd try to get on the repeater a little bit more this year. I hadn't been doing too well with it lately.
Well, that sounds like a good plan. And what was your name?
Taylor.
Oh, I had a friend by the name of Tyler for many years back in Kansas. And he was a good ham operator. Oh, shoot, time does fly. Well, I'm 74. How old are you, Tyler?
5 years old.
My mind, I'm 47 and dyslexic.
Not for me. I won't hold it against you.
I didn't want to be that far older than you. But I guess I can't, you know, I haven't found that fountain of youth. Although I visited it in 1966 in St. Augustine, Florida. And you could get some of that water that Ponca de Leon found, and he called it the Fountain of Youth. And I think that was in the 1500s or 1600s. But you know what, Tyler? He lied.
Hearing that when he was looking for it, all the Indian tribes around the area would always tell him, yeah, it's just a little bit further down the trail. Just go down a little bit further and ask the people there. They'll tell you where it's at. And they kept him going in circles for a little while till he finally gave up.
That's where two fools met. Well, I had a first-class petty officer there in San Diego when I was stationed at North Island Naval Air Station. And I was green as a gourd, but I knew my airplane pretty well that I flew in. And he sent me over to the AMD department across the field there. And it was a long walk, and that's the aircraft maintenance department, to get him a gust lock key. Well, I knew what a gust lock key was. It locks the moving surfaces on an airplane when you park it so they don't flap around in the wind like your ailerons and your flaps and your rudder. And so I thought, this guy's pulling my leg. So I went over to the PX, and I just played the pinball machines for the next 6 or 7 hours and had a ball and come back just before it was time for my shift to end. And he said, where you been? And I said, well, I went to AMD, and he told me the next place to go. And I said, you know, I think he was chief, matter of fact. I said, I just never did find that gust lock key.
Before, or did he know you were telling a fib?
Oh, he knew I was lying. But there wasn't a heck of a lot he could do about it.
Down too hard on you, and you had a good day of playing pinball. That's always better than a day of working, probably.
Yeah, they tried to do that. They'll put guys out on the front of a destroyer for the mail buoy watch and things like that. They always got some slick things you got to be ready for. But, we've all been fooled at one time or another. And then the next guy, he already knows where to send you to the next place, and on. So those things happen. Well, we just took some goodies over to my neighbor that we had left over from dinner, and he'll have them for his lunch tomorrow at work. And we're heading down to my daughter's in the southern part of Greer, about 14 miles south. We're at Highway 101 here at the Peach Farm here in Taylor's, I'm sure. You probably know where that's at, don't you, Tyler? It's N0TR.
There's not as many peach farms around as there used to be, unfortunately, but I believe if you're talking about Dillard's, everybody knows just about where it's at.
This one's just north of Wade Hampton, a couple of blocks here on the right side. It's called Taylor's Orchard, and boy, we always love that when it opens up. Can't wait. Yeah, spring's not far off.
talking about Taylor's. They have the produce shed right there on the corner, don't they, that they sell all their fruits and vegetables and stuff from. It kind of looks like it's been there for a few minutes.
It's like me, older than dirt.
And it, isn't it? It's still going strong.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not pushing up daisies from the root side yet. But, and I'm thankful for that. And thank the good Lord. But, I do love those peaches down here. We've been here 12 years, and we always get some and send them to my nephew up in Boston. And he just can't find them up there like that. He's just nuts about them. They make, what do they call those things? Smoothies and stuff like that. He sent me a picture yesterday at his house. It's outside of Boston. And it had 50-mile-an-hour gusts, 20-mile-an-hour consistent wind. And he got 20 inches of snow and 3-foot drifts yesterday. I told him just keep it.
The reason they don't get many good peaches up there, the weather's pretty rough for growing them. And I know even around here, we've had some pretty good cold snaps the past couple of years. I know the peach crops have really been hurt a time or two. And we usually buy strawberries and such up at Sandy Flat on the 290 up there. And I think the past 2 years, they've either had no crop or a short crop because the freeze got most of their strawberries. I'm pretty disappointed in that.
Our kinfolk goes up to Strawberry Hill every year, but I don't know. Where's these folks get their Strawberry Hill, you think? Or
yeah, some of them.
Some of them?
Another place.
And one other place, Bernice says, my wife here. And they're just delicious. And my wife's real good at homemade ice cream and put some of them strawberries on it. And that's lit up and good and as far uptown as you can get.
Yeah, I think that qualifies as uptown. I don't think I've had anything quite as good ice cream-wise as homemade, though I'm a little bit lazy in it. I don't make it as much as I used to. I probably need to do a little bit better time of that.
Well, Bernice doesn't. She says it's easy. My mom used to do it, and it was a lot more involved. What'd she do,
huh? She made a custard.
She made a custard and made it in that, but what Bernice makes doesn't take you what? How long to make it, Mom?
Maybe
30 minutes to freeze it, you know, and then it's got to set up. And you just heard some deuces clacking around in the rear here. I got to get over in another lane, so I had to exceed the speed limit a little here, Tyler. I got to go mail a letter to the South Carolina Sheriff's Association.
I think I can keep your secret this time as far as on the speeding is concerned. I don't think I'll have to tell the local law enforcement man on you because I think I've been guilty of that myself a time or two since we've been talking.
Oh, well, you know, at my age, I got to be careful. I still drive good, and I don't drive like an old man as a general rule, but I've only had 3 tickets in my life, and 2 of them was on motorcycles. One of them I deserved, and one of them I didn't. And the other ticket was for turning left off of Broadway in Pittsburgh, Kansas at 10:30 at night. But it was a new cop, so he had to give a ticket.
Well, 10:30 at night, he might have been a little bit bored, too, looking for something to do. I've only ever had one myself, knock on wood. I don't hope to have any more. And I never had any on my motorcycle when I had it. And I got to say, I miss having it, but the way things are nowadays, I really don't know that I could ride a motorcycle on the road anymore. People are crazy enough nearly hitting me in the truck. I can't imagine having nothing between me and them.
In my opinion, when I worked at a hospital as an electronic technician my last year, they called them donor cycles, and some of the nurses called them murder cycles. But, I had some great times. I'd still love to have one. I'm just not able. If I dropped a big bike over. I can never pick it up. So it's just out of the question. And I think your observation down here is right. They just don't have any respect for motorcycles. And they are hard to see. And they're so extremely powerful now, it's hard to keep your foot off the gas. And it's like I told a guy once about, he had an amplifier that was 2,500 watts several years ago, and they said, oh, well, yeah, but we won't use it over 1,500 watts. And I said, yeah, just like if you had a Ferrari, you wouldn't go over the speed limit. I said, don't try to blow smoke up my six.
You're absolutely right about the temptation there. Matter of fact, my wife and I were, we just finished eating breakfast up at the Hungry Drover over there on 290 a couple weeks ago. We were walking out to our car, and there was a guy at the four-way there on his motorcycle, and he took off from the intersection, and after maybe 20, 30 yards, he decided he was going to give it a little bit of gas and show out, and it wasn't a second after he turned that handlebar and gave it some gas that it got out from under him and just slammed right into a tree. Thankfully, he came off the back of it, didn't get hurt, but picked his bike up, tried to start it, and I think he had to call a rollback to come pick him up that day. I didn't stay around to see what happened.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on him. I started delivering papers on a Cushman Eagle when I was 14 years old. I carried 135 papers, and you had to fold them back then. It started out about 4 o'clock in the morning, and get done and go to school. And later on, I delivered drugs for the drugstore. And it rained or shine, snow, and it was up in Kansas. And it was just plumb crazy to do some of the things we done. But I gotta say, we had a good time. I did finally hit some oil in the center line one day. And I was driving a 750 Suzuki. And I went down, but I had bags and crash bars, so we didn't get hurt. But I went home that day. We was way down in the Ozarks in the mountains. And I went home that day and fixed that one little fog light and put it up for sale. I'd still love to have it, but I don't regret selling it. I didn't mind wrecking myself, but I didn't want to hurt my kids.
All will definitely make you think. We never, I never, when I was younger in high school and whatnot, rode on the road very much. We always rode dirt bikes, four-wheelers off-road a lot, though. And I remember the very first, like, close call I had really made me slow down and think. I had a Yamaha Grizzly 850 four-wheeler. I was coming down the trail wide open, and there was a nice, about 2 foot deep hole, probably 2 foot deep and about a foot and a half wide, that I didn't see because it was full of leaves. And when that front tire went in it, That four-wheeler just went right end over end, ended up laying on top of me, and the only thing that kept it from coming down on me was the handlebars. It landed just right, that there was space for me to crawl out of it. And I tell you what, it really made me think, and I never rode the same way again after that.
I raced motorcycles for a while when I was young. My dad wouldn't let me, so another guy signed as my dad so I could join the American Motorcycle Association. I noticed the other day he just passed away, but he faked my dad's signature. And I had a lot of fun doing that. I didn't do a lot of it. It was called a TT track back then. And then we rode the bicycle dumps, which were old strip mines, and just had a ball. And we'd go out swimming at night and the old pits and that. We'd ride our motorcycles up the top of those. And sometimes we'd go down to Pitcher, Oklahoma. There's a Gestapo. And down here on Munkham. And we'd go down and ride those chat piles. And they were like mountains. They were huge. And we had a lot of fun doing that. Good memories, and my daughter and I, a couple of times, we took a tent, went down in the Ozarks and camped out and come back the next day. They're a lot of fun. There's no greater freedom other than maybe flying.
That's about how I feel about it. I've been flying a couple of times. A friend of mine's a pilot, so we go up with him on occasion, and I think you're right. That of all the things I've done, that is one of the things that feels the most free. You just got nothing around you and the whole world there below. It's a pretty fun thing. He's been on me to get my pilot's license, and I told him that at least for right now, I just don't know that I have the time, nor do I want to invest the money in it. But I think one day that's something I probably, maybe in the future, if I had a little more time, would consider doing. It definitely is a great experience.
So it costs a great deal of money to go out and bore holes in the sky nowadays. A friend of mine on here, Jim, KL4LAO, said that it was like $230 an hour with an instructor now, and you have to have an instructor with you, and if you don't fly regularly, the next time you go up, you got to have an instructor with you. And it's very expensive, but one of the best things I've seen lately to aspiring pilots is that there's a big pilot shortage. And United's starting a school now, and they'll pay you to go through it, I think. And you ought to look into that if you ever really thought you wanted to do it. And I don't know what the qualifications are. But my nephew started out in the Air National Guard flying C-130s. He had private pilot's license and commercial and instrument. And then he joined the Air Guard, and he now flies 787s internationally.
I heard about the shortage of pilots. I didn't know that it had gotten to the point where they're having to do not necessarily apprenticeships, but, you know, directed schooling. I'm guessing they probably, you know, pay for your school or part of your school if you work for them for a period of time after you get out. That's usually the way that goes. W4CTW.
NZLTR. Well, I've just seen it on the news several times lately, Tyler, and me worth looking at, nothing else. Just fish for it on the internet, Google it. And United's got their own school now, developing their own pilots. And of course, you'd probably go to one of their, you know, a lot of times, like the airlines that come in down here, you might come in here on a Delta, one of the, FJ900s or whatever, that you see all the time. But it's another carrier, SkyWest or somebody like that, from that they've hired to do their short flights, like from here over to Atlanta and that. They're the ones operating the aircraft, not Delta. But they said that's probably the starting point, was you would go to a smaller airline and then work your way up. I know Steve started out on 727s, MD-80s, and then he flew the 757, 767, 777, and 787. And he could be a captain now, but he doesn't want to be, because if he is, right now with his seniority, he can pick his flights every time and get them. And I think last time I looked, they had 11,000 pilots, and they probably got more than that now. But with that seniority, he just picks where he wants to go.
You put the rookies on the connecting flights, because honestly, I would think if you got to pick your job a little bit with some seniority, some of those guys that have been there for a while would want those, like, you know, Atlanta to Greenville or Charlotte to Greenville flights, because it's probably more likely you're going to get to spend time at home in the evenings if you're on those short flights versus doing the long hauls. Of course, I don't know, even the long hauls, they may fly back and forth enough in a day that they get to spend time at home.
It's off on those short flights. NZLTR. One just took off here in front of me. We're down here in front of runway 22. They're taking off to the southwest right now. Steve likes to fly to like Singapore, China, South Korea. I got a picture of the waypoints on the radar going into South Korea, Seoul, South Korea. in very, very busy area there, you might think, with North Korea not far off. But he flies all over, over there in the South Pacific, and it's nonstop out of Dallas. And they put two flight crews on that plane, sometimes three, I think. And they rotate every 3 hours, and they sleep in between.
Like you say, that the short crews do a lot more work. You get more takeoffs and landings per day if you're running that route multiple times, and it's only, say, an hour flight versus being a part of one of those nonstops, and you do your shift, and then you know, kind of just hang out or take your rest break, sleep in between. So I guess it's just different strokes, just different kinds of things. People probably get in there, they find their niche, they find what type of work they like the best, and they stick to it.
A girlfriend that he's had for many years has family in Germany and that, and she's a flight attendant, so they just schedule a flight over there anytime they want it. And if he took the captains, they'd probably put him back to something in the States, and he likes the international stuff. I think he could go any direction he wanted to now because he's got several thousand hours. And plus he was a major in the Air Force and flew the C-130 in the first Iraq War. But it sounds like a lucrative career. And boy, he'll send me pictures from all over the world. And unbeknownst to a lot of people is the pilot and the co-pilot rotate on each takeoff and each landing. They let the co-pilot, let's say the pilot lands on this landing, the next landing the co-pilot will land and take off. And that way he gets his credit for that, you know, and for the hours as a command pilot.
But I guess that's the only real way they can get, you know, good training in under supervision, because they're trying to build up their hours. And, you know, if the pilot did everything himself all the time, I don't know how he would do that if he's only letting the co-pilot take over when he's on break or an emergency. So sounds like a pretty good system. Well, I'm getting really close. I'm about to pull in where I'm going, and I really appreciate you talking to me today. And I'm going to get my work truck set up here. I don't have a good antenna in it, but I'm about to put one in. So hopefully I'll be able to get on the repeater more and have a good opportunity to talk to you again in the near future. But I'll say 7-3 for now. This is W4CTW, and it's been great talking to you today.
Okay, Tyler. Well, the pleasure's all mine. I enjoyed it. I'm a little hoarse, but we're getting cabin fever and wanted to get out and go for a ride. And like I said, this is 14 miles down here south of 14 and Pelham Road there, a couple of miles. I just want to go down and see the kids, and I know where they'll be. They'll be glued right in front of the Kansas City and Bengals football game. Take care. Good luck with what you're doing today, and we'll talk to you down the line. This is NZRTR Clear.